Let's see what the man who's coached New South Wales to more victories than anyone else in its history of State of Origin, Phil Gould, who'll be on the coverage tonight for Channel 9. He's been busy this weekend. He had Friday night, the women's State of Origin. He had Pacific Test last night and, of course, the Origin tonight. Been good enough to join us on the line today. G'day, Gus.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Yeah, really well. This New South Wales side, this preparation, this... this job that Brad Fittler's doing as coach, I know you know him probably as well as anyone. Are you surprised at the way that Brad's gone about it? It's raised some eyebrows in certain sections, but I was there at training on Thursday. Organised, professional and intense. And they're probably things I didn't associate with Brad Fittler as a coach.
Yeah, well, I sort of said right from the start when he got the job, you'll underestimate him at your peril. He is extremely organised, and he knows this landscape very, very well. I think what he's done is a couple of things. He's kept it really simple. He's kept the camps really simple. He's kept the football simple, and he's kept selection simple. He's gone with form players who he thinks that the fans will cheer for, and I think that's why we're sort of all really excited about this New South Wales team. And win, lose or draw, we can cheer for them, and that's really important.
Yeah, good morning, Phil. You're 100% right. He chose his own team. He chose players that are in form. But, Gus, can I ask you, what makes an Origin player?
Well, it's a good question because there's no real one answer to that. The one thing I do say is that, you know, just being selected for Origin doesn't make you an Origin player. And just because you've played Origin well in the past, you know, you've got to go out and prove it again every time you're selected. So you're constantly proving yourself in all the attributes that help you compete at this level and be a valuable team member. And I think the one thing that I think separates Origin players from those who probably haven't succeeded at this level is that you do value the team ethos. You do value your role in the team and its importance. And that you're playing for the people with you and around you and who support you. And some players just miss that point. Some teams miss that point. Some coaches miss that point. It's really to generate, to bring 17 players together in a week who normally compete with each other on a weekly basis and pull them together and galvanise them to play for a common cause for 80 minutes against very, very strong opposition is not an easy task, but you're relying on the buy-in factor of the player that says, I want to be a part of the team. I'm just not here to look after myself.
So let's have a look at that from a case study point of view, Gus. Ryan James missed out in game one, just. Now he misses out again to Matt Prior. Why do you think Brad Fittler thought Matt Prior was the man for State of Origin in front of Ryan James on this occasion?
Yeah, well, you could argue that probably he was thinking Matt Prior was unlucky to miss out in game one too. Eventually, he named people and I'm sure Ryan James is close to a start. Matt Prior at 31, if not now, you know, would he get his chance again? Ryan James is 26 and still got plenty of football within him.
Yep.
I guess the thing that tilted him in the end was that Matt Prior's coming from a team, the Cronulla Sharks, that has had good success over the last few years. He's played in a winning grand final. And the Sharks, as you know, play that nitty-gritty, grinding style of football. And Matt Prior, who's a former outside back, you know, edge back thrower, versatility player who's made a home in the front row, has still got that really good leg speed. He's probably expecting this game to be a lot faster than it was in game one.
Gus, I'm interested in your thoughts on Ponga. A lot of discussion about that X factor he brings to the Queensland team. What's your opinion of Ponga? Is he the type of player who you believe can literally go into a cauldron of Origin battle tonight, series on the line, and perform at his best?
Well, just on that last point, he's part of the new age professional footballer. I think that rugby league, you know, has said that we're full-time professional since 1995. We're far from being that. You know, they might have been paid to be full-time professionals, but I think rugby league itself was coming to terms with full-time professionalism for a long time. And I honestly believe it's only now just starting to get it right. And the young fellas like your Nathan Cleary's and Kalen Ponga's, I think the really first breed of truly professional footballers that have grown up thinking this is going to be my career and have done everything right throughout their life leading to these moments. And it's why they handle these things so well when they get their opportunity. As a talent, he's a rare talent. I think we know that. Nathan Brown said to me he's the most... intelligent rugby league footballer he's ever had anything to do with.
Wow.
And that's a huge rap. And, yeah, there's still big things in store for Kalen. I'm excited because it just adds to the freshness of this Origin series. You know, we've all sat back for the last 13 years and watched Queensland's dominance. At the end of the day, we couldn't beat them. You know, your Smiths, your Thurstons, your Cronks, and this will be Billy's last year. At the end of the day, they were too good for us. And they just, we couldn't find a team or a mentality to beat them. So it's been a fresh start for New South Wales and also a fresh start for some new Queenslanders. And I'm really excited. I wanted to see this kid get at least a run at some stage of the series. And, you know, he's going to be an Origin player for a long period of time. He's very exciting. He's just got a skill set unlike any other. We've watched him come through the NYC program over the last few years, and he's been a dominant force in that. And he won't be worried about tonight, I can guarantee you that. He will just say, well, this is where I'm meant to be.
Great mindset in it.
No Smith, no Cronk, no Thurston, as you mentioned. We know they missed them. Where do they miss them most, do you think, Gus?
Well, I think over the years, because those fellas have played so much football together, and Billy as well, I thought leading into game one, the one problem that Queensland could have was not so much in leadership. I mean, Greg Inglis is a captain and he's a leader and he played a leadership knock, but it's very hard to do it from the centre position.
Yep.
You still need someone to run your game. You still need someone that's actually driving the ship up front and other players tap into. And I just thought in that respect, Queensland really didn't have a dominant playmaker, neither the 9, the 7 or the 6. You could look at the game and say, well, they're running the show. Everyone assumed Billy would do that from fullback. He didn't make game one, and I suppose they'll lean on Billy tonight. But the first thing Billy will be saying is, well, you know, who's running the show up front here? Is it the 9 or the 7? Ben Hunt didn't train much in game one. He's done a great job for the Dragons. He's certainly turned them around. I think Queensland had a terrible preparation for game one, not of their own doing, just with injury and different things that happened to them. From what I understand, it's been far more settled this time. They snuck in a couple of extra sessions, and Ben Hunt, I think, is the man that they're going to look to. And it was interesting listening to comments from Cameron Smith immediately after game one. I asked him about the 9, McCullough, how you thought he went. He said, I don't think the team supported him enough with enough plays around him, and there wasn't enough ball movement at their own end of the field, and they made hard work for themselves, you know, making yardage. So I think just on the words of him, and Billy Slater sort of repeated it on the Sunday on Channel 9 when he was on the panel. So the fact that you got those two great players thinking that way, I think Queensland will have a boss tonight. They, you know, either the 9 or the 7 will take ownership of this team. And that's why I think they'll be much better than they were in game one.
Yeah, that's interesting, Gus, because I was going to ask you about, we were talking about earlier, Jimmy and I, about Damien Cook's potential influence on the game and the sort of influence he had on Origin 1 just with his speed around the rucks.
Well, they played for that. It was why he was selected. In the end, you know, it was always sort of thought that New South Wales might have to go with two hookers in the squad. Could they trust one player for 80 minutes? And from what I understand, it was on the back of Danny Bedaris, who was at the time, and I remember being on the plane coming home with Brad Fittler. We were calling a Canberra game, and Andrew Johns, Brad Fittler, and Danny Bedaris were on the phone all the time during the South Sydney St. George game, where South gave it to St. George. And Danny Bedaris said, Damien Cook can go 80 minutes, he's our hooker. So Danny Bedaris was a big part of that, to saying, well, we won't go with two, we'll go with one. That's why Peachy was useful off the bench, because they trained him up to play some dummy half work. And I think in Andrew John's mind too, the way that they were going to play the game was through the middle and around the middle part of the field and try and come through their forwards. And the work that Damien Cook did, setting up the first try, Tedesco did later in the game, we made breaks around that area. It was a very deliberate mindset and a very deliberate game plan. And it produced the points for them. I thought probably Queensland actually handled the yardage game better than New South Wales did. New South Wales were prepared to move the ball, though, to make ground, to run them around a little bit. But once they got in attacking positions, that brought Cook and Tedesco into the game. And those two players hanging around the middle of the field were really dangerous.
It's interesting you make mention of it, and I was listening to the podcast during the week, Six Tackles with Gus. Six halves of football in any Origin series year. 44-10, New South Wales led after the first three halves last year. 34 points to 6, Queensland. And as much as you said, new team, Gus, new mentality, and looking at that those final three halves of football, you could see that it was the mentality that had New South Wales beaten. Do you think there's been a... I know there's been a change for New South Wales. Do you think there's been a change for Queensland in that as well?
Well, what I do know is Queensland will handle the back half of the series. You know, there's no risk about that. You know, New South Wales yet to prove it can, yet to prove they can win close games. And this will be close tonight. I think the last four or five have been decided by an average of 2 points here at ANZ Stadium. It's just the way the games are played here. New South Wales has got to prove it can go down to the back end of a game and win it. There was some extraordinary statistic during those, you know, that run of 13 Origin series where Queensland won 12, that every time the game was in the balance, you know, less than 6 or 7 minutes to go, Queensland won 14 out of 15 or something.
Wow.
It's a ridiculous statistic. So it's that's a period that they've got to do. And this series is, we're not even into the second half of it yet. There's a lot to be learned. And I'm sure the one point that Brad Fittler, Danny Bideras, Andrew Johns, Greg Alexander are making to their team is that the game you played in game one is not the game you're preparing for this time. Last year, New South Wales, as you said, they dominated the first three halves, 44-10, and then gave the body language that this was over. And it was only just beginning. And I don't think it was pure football that beat them. It was mentality that beat them. And Queensland just know it so well. And it's passed down from player to player, team to team, generation to generation. So the hard part of this series is still well in front of New South Wales.
Can't wait. Hey, Gus, we're all counting the hours and minutes and seconds until tonight. There'll be a huge TV audience watching the Channel 9 coverage. Are we getting a glimpse of the future of Origin with this standalone match tonight?
Well, yeah, I think it could develop into something really good. I mean, we've seen the rep weekend already. It's thrown up some great football. The standalone game for the girls on Friday night.
How good was that, Phil? That was fantastic.
Well, it's attracted a lot of attention, a lot of accolades, but it's put them on the stage now, and I think you're only going to see that part of the game grow. What got my enthusiasm going was walking around North Sydney Oval before the game and seeing so many kids that had come from country areas, you know, the Gundagai and Blaney and Candice and Wellington and Tweed Heads and Port Macquarie, and people had driven down with netball teams and touch soccer teams and touch football teams to bring their girls down to watch these women play. You can only imagine the effect it's going to have on them to watch New South Wales win that game and see how physical and how skillful these girls were. So it's the women's game will grow. It's a big part of the new participation. And I think everyone having a look at it at the elite level on Friday night can now see that it's got a grassroots part of it as well that has to be nurtured. The Pacific Island games last night, you know, it's, you don't get much more passion and pride than that. What they showed, not just from the players, but it's the crowd that gets you. It's the way they are attracted to it. And you have to think in some time they've got to have their own standalone weekend. Now, it's probably not befitting the status or what their status will be in the future, just to put them as a curtain raiser to an Origin weekend. And the idea of the Sunday game, I think if we had, whether it was one Sunday game a year or whatever, I think it's a real good mid-season family time. It could end up like a grand final Sunday where, you know, families come together and have their barbecues and sit around and watch the game, and it could become a real event. I'll be very, very interested in how it is tonight. You know, we're all excited for the contest. I think we're excited for the freshness of Origin now. It's, you know, Queensland have won that period. They were too good. But can their young fellas carry on with that, or can the New South Wales young fellas take it away from them?
So fascinating. Yeah.
That's the question I'm going to ask you, Gus, to finish up. Who wins tonight?
Oh, well, mate, New South Wales, one will do. I don't care if it's 51-50 or 1-0. But as long as they win, just 1 point. They're hard to win, mate, I can tell you. And any win is a good win. So as long as they're in front when that final siren goes, and it'll be nice.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be great. Coverage on Channel 9. You can catch all of that tonight. We appreciate your time, Gus. Very, very busy this weekend for you. And thanks for enlightening our listeners about Origin and what it means.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Phil. Day.